Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day that we can gather together to worship you, to sing songs of praise to you and to study about your word and gather around this table so we can remember your son, to thank you, Father, for all the things that you do for us every day in our lives. And Father, to offer us a home with you in the eternity. We're so grateful to be here to do this. Amen. Bless our sick. We're thankful for Brother Tom for leading us in song, for Brother Robert and bringing us a lesson this day. Help us to gain the knowledge that will help us be better Christians in your kingdom. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Let's open our song books this morning to number 435. 435. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His
God. Amen. 12 present this morning. Today is May 24th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our psalm books at number 25. 2-5 will be the psalm of invitation after our lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 615. 615. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward to
several places of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament speaks in regard to how he wants people to behave in government as well as in religious practices and all. And God speaks to others from his word who are of his people, and he speaks to others who are not of his people. He wants people to have the opportunity to know what is good and right. Look at the great passage found in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, learn to do well. If someone in government deprives their citizens to learn to do better and to do well, they're not doing God's will at all. He speaks regarding those who are fatherless, the orphans, and the widows of the time, and how that we're to serve them and care for them and do good for them as we learn to do well. Learning to do well is God's plan. And he says there in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins, though you've missed the mark and you've not done well, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as wool. Though they be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Lord said he would offer forgiveness for people who would come to him. And in the New Testament time, we see how we're to come to him through Jesus Christ. For it is noted regarding others in 1 Timothy 2 at verse 4, God who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That means that he wants to have our neighbors to be saved. He wants to have our family members to be saved. He wants us to be saved. He wants all to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. If we got to thinking about heaven from the standpoint of being filled up and too many people up there in heaven, we certainly miss the point, because God in his word says he would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereof I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray in everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The idea of God in His Word wanting people to be saved, to become people who are people of prayer, become people who are sanctified in God, is so important to Him. Others in this world in which we live are identified in 1 Timothy chapter 4. When he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren," he told Timothy as he wrote to him in 1 Timothy 4 and at verse 6. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore both we labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is given unto thee by the laying on of my hands," or the hands of the presbyters. "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Well, I think we have enough verses in front of us today to say, what does God want to say to others? And what does He want us to say to others? And what does He want to say to us? Number one, He doesn't want us to say to ourselves that we are alone in the world and we're the only ones going to be saved and we're okay. That has been a tragedy among us. The idea that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But they didn't come to the knowledge of the truth. Why did they not come to the knowledge of the truth? There are some people, as he noted back there in Isaiah's time, who didn't come and reason with him. He said, "Come now and reason with me. Though you have sins as scarlet and as wool, I will make them as white as snow." They didn't come to him that they might have that freedom from their sins. They missed the mark, they continued in missing the mark, and they lived and died in sin and sin's condition, and they were understood to be lost. Did God wish them to be lost? No. Desires that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Here in 1 Timothy 4, he says regarding all men, for they have used the office, they find themselves mediate upon these things, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, and in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This is what he wanted to have done. And when we find ourselves giving over to bodily exercise and good foods to eat, and obviously we ought to keep ourselves as healthy as we can be. I believe when Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and 22 to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmity. He was essentially saying to him, live as long as you can and do as much good as you can for others. I believe that's what God wants all of us to do. I believe he wants us to live as long as we can, do the type of exercise we need to do to keep our hearts strong and all. Keep the kind of foods in our system that's not too much sugars or too much fats to be that strong person that we know that we can be. And be a person that is strong enough to live a long time, and during that time, tell others about the Savior, God's Son, who came that we might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, these verses of Scripture remind me of someone along the way who talked to me about preaching the gospel. I guess second only to my mother, my grandfather Lawrence was so delighted that as a young man, I was being recognized as a gospel preacher. He wanted to stop at the porch many Sundays after lunch, sit in a straight back chair, lean it back on the side of the wall, and when I'd come out, going out to the field out there, we played ball in that field. You could hit that ball a mile in the field. You had to run to get around bases because they were extra long because of that. And the ball would get there soon enough, you know, to get you out before you got home. But instead of going out there, he'd say, Robert, would you come sit down by me for a few minutes? The others can set the team up and everything. And they'll have you on it, I'm sure they will. And they did. And he would talk to me about people. I remember one particular day, he made the following statement. He said, Robert, you smiled as you preached the gospel. He said, you should smile. It's a happy thing. It's a wonderful thing. But he said, not everyone that hears you has the background that you and I have. Not everyone that hears you has the background of the scripture that you quote and cite. Others will have missed out on that. Maybe because they can't read very well, they just don't read much of the Bible either. Some because when they read it, they really don't look at the definition of that word, they come to an idea about it, and they're so stubborn about their ways of being right all the time that they find themselves pushing it on others, though it's not really what the Lord said and what he expected of us. And he said, all those kind of things you'll have to deal with. He said, there are some people out there who have been mistreated during the course of the week by somebody sitting there in the house. And he said, they will not be listening to you so much as they'll be thinking about somebody over there and how he looks like he's so interested in what the preacher says, but he doesn't practice it, not the least. Because he offended, bothered me, troubled me, was weak against me during the week. He said there are some things in the Bible that says that to people who are offended like that, what to do. But there are people out there who've been offended by someone else in the house that particular day, and they don't realize what they're supposed to do. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, we read there where when two or three are gathered together in my name and I there in the midst of them. But we read that particular verse of scripture only after it is noted where two or three are gathered together in my name. I am there in the midst of them. And he speaks regarding those who have offenses against others and how they're to go to them and gain thy brother, he says. Gain thy brother. Gain him back to the friendship. Gain him back to the love. Gain him back to the forgiveness. And you're to be that kind of person. He goes on to say, and if they do not hear you, they will not pay attention. No, 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 don't come. No, don't tell me. Don't say anything to me. No. Bring two or three more with you that are of the same impression of what God's Word says. When two or three come up on the porch and knock at the door and say, we'd like to visit with you about this conflict and this trouble and you get this resolved. No, I won't hear it. No, no, I will not hear it at all. Then he says, tell it to the church. Tell it to the assembly. This brother has gone individually to be restored and to have this to be considered a past history event. But he's been turned down. Two or three of us went together with him and he turned us down at the door. Jesus said he was to be considered wrong, so wrong that he was not to be fellowshipped. That person may very well have been sitting there that particular day when those announcements were made regarding what he's done to this individual, what he's done to the two or three that came to visit, and now to the church itself, he's to be considered as wrong and a sinner and publicans, as they had tax collectors in the day who were so resented. They were to be people who resented that kind of conduct by a supposed brother who so deeply offended. Does that not go back to what Isaiah said long ago? Come now, let us reason together. He wants people to talk to one another. He wants people to reason together, to think together, to plan together. As a result of that, they can be people who serve the cause of God together. What are we to do to people who are widows and orphans? We're to practice pure religion, James tells us in James 1 at 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit, to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Here's a practitioner of pure religion, looking for the needs of others, looking for those who are particularly in need, fatherless, widows, orphans, and widows. Particularly are they in need. Go to visit them, care about them, take them something that they need, to fit a need, to take care of a need. That's what you do. But they never called on me. I told them. I went over there and I said, if you need anything, just let me know. We found out enough at Batesville Effective through the years, and I practice it now. And I tell all the people who serve people and help them out with food items that they pick up here, just like back there. We went to visit some people who came by to ask for some help. Now, most of us wouldn't go by to ask for some help, but they came by to ask for some help. So we helped. But when we went to visit, each time we took notes, mentally and otherwise, of what they really needed. And what they really needed was a whole bunch of dry beans and peas there instead of a sack and bag. They needed a lot more. And we could take care of a need. And do you not think about their... So many of them responded back to the Lord's church. They learned the gospel, became obedient to the gospel of the Lord because extra was brought to them, they thought, but it actually was meeting a need that they had. They had so many in the family, so many circumstances were going on, they needed more than what they asked for there. We found an opportunity to help and teach the gospel at the same time. Can't tell you the number of times people have said things like this to our brethren. I don't know why you're so interested in me, but I'm so glad you are. I don't know why you came on a visit to see me, but I'm so glad you did. What a wonderful help you have been to my life and my family. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be people who look at others like God looks at others, wanting them to come to Him and reason with Him, wanting them to come to Him that they might find a blessing from His people on the earth, looking to Him because of His teaching. I want all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What's true? Well, Jesus is true. I'm the Word, the truth, and life. I'm the Savior. I'm the truth. What Jesus said is true. But more than this, God's truth is His Word through the prophets. They said a Savior was coming. He came. They said He was going to be put to death by wicked and lawless men, and He was. They said He was going to rise again the third day from the dead. You could not keep Him a dead and gone. And He did. What a blessing to have this God of heaven and the way that He looks at others. Let's not forget the passage of 1 Timothy 2-4, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. As those who listen to us today by way of the internet, by way of the Crockett MS Church of Christ, I mentioned that on radio this time. I said, Crockett MS, Mississippi. You're in Mississippi, not Texas, because you could type in Texas and you go out to Texas. Crockett County has Churches of Christ out there. But you are called on to come to CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com and listen to the message and hear the singing that's done and sing along with us. It's because of that Colonel Mason said, I heard you on radio years ago. I want you to come and tell me what you told at that time. And he said, I believe that. God would have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. That's what He wants to do with others. As we stand to sing, will you come to Jesus?
Jesus, I can safely go anywhere that leads me in this world below. Anywhere without Him. Anywhere with Jesus, I am alive. shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and nevermore do wrong. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot go. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Tomorrow, as we celebrate and remember Memorial Day time for our veterans, we must remember, please, that it's on God's terms that war is righteous and is waged. What were the Hitlers trying to do? Keep them from learning to do well. What was Mussolini trying to do? Keep men from learning to do well. There's a righteousness about warfare that God has blessed in this nation, and He has blessed America. I'm thankful we are for those who meant to serve in such a way that we have freedom to preach what we teach and be over what we are in life. God bless you.
Turn to number 387. Down at the cross where my Savior died,
down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to
thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us and your willingness to teach us through your prophets and through your Son, Jesus Christ, and how that we can follow His way and be the kind of people that Thou would have us to be on this earth. Bless us as we go through this pandemic time to have a solution to it and rewarding ways to be back together once again, all together. But until that time, help us to be wise enough people to look to Thee and to influence others only for good, and seeking first the kingdom ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.